today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Americans on the do not fly list are about to find out why they are on that list. And travel opportunities are expanding at Sacramento International Airport.
If you or anyone you know needs assistance in airports while traveling, you will want to hear our discussion at 3:15. Elderly and disabled passengers are regularly abandoned in airports by those assigned to get them to their planes. And yes, it happened to a 99-year-old Sacramento man and his wife Friday night.
Becky Rupp is the editor of American Road Magazine. She joins us at 3:35 live to talk about roadie monuments.
And finally at 3:55, we save the best for last and share a touching video involving Delta Airlines, a fallen warrior, and his trusty canine. Please stay tuned for this memorable segment.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, and you're listening to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome. You're listening to The Travel Guys. Thanks for taking a moment out of your day to spend some time with us. We're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. KFBK, Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. I'm Tom Romano, a special guest in the studio. Clayton Whitehead joins us today. By the way, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can follow along with the show there. Also, an opportunity to look at past shows are available as well. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Busy week for you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. It's a beautiful weekend in Sacramento. I thought yesterday might have been the nicest day of the whole year. Those white, puffy clouds floating through the sky. The weather was perfect. It just was, I don't know, it just felt like the most perfect day ever.
Well, that's because it was followed by the most perfect day ever, or at least evening, with anywhere from a half an inch to more rain overnight, which, boy, I tell you, you know, it's amazing what something
a
little rain can brighten everybody's spirits.
Yeah, psychological lift for everybody in the area. Yeah, pretty amazing.
Anyway, we're here with a pretty good show. We've got some really interesting stuff. You and your travelers had a rather interesting tail end of the week, which we're going to talk about.
We did.
After the quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to have an important discussion here about folks who travel who need assistance in airports and what sometimes happens to them. And we have a real first person account of this, and it's not something, unfortunately, that happens on a rare occasion. It's something that's been happening for a long time, and we have some theories as to why it's been happening and also some suggestions for you to make you a smarter traveler and hopefully avoid getting into that situation yourself.
If you're listening to The Travel Guys for the first time, one of the things we always do at the top of the show is bring you up to date on the travel news. So with that being said, Mark Hoffman with The Travel News, folks.
Hey, thank you, Thomas. As you heard in the KFBK news at the top of the hour, of course, horrible earthquake yesterday in Nepal. Currently, there are thousands of travelers stranded at Kathmandu Airport, International Airport, trying to get out. Emergency supplies are starting to come in now, but there apparently are literally thousands of travelers in the terminal trying to get on to relief flights to get home. So a very, very bad situation there in Nepal. Uber is back in the news once again, Thomas. They hardly go a couple weeks without being in the news one way or another, good, bad, or otherwise. This time, not so good.
Uh-oh.
Seems as though Uber drivers are refusing in some cases to transport guide dogs. In fact, one of them put a service animal in the trunk, and so they're now being sued. Yes, the National Federation of the Blind in California has an estimated 40 complaints that have been filed in the last year against Uber drivers in regards to service animals. So kind of part of what our related discussion is going to be here, I guess, today. But if you are looking for an Uber car and you have a service animal, you best discuss it with the driver ahead of time, or you may find yourself in a not so good situation.
Yeah, ladies, it's okay if you request that your husband be put in the trunk, but certainly not the service dog.
If you're thinking about flying, we've had a guest from Spirit Airlines on the program a couple weeks ago. We talked about how Spirit and Frontier and Allegiant are airlines that are advertising these really bare bones fares that really don't give you much. The mainline operators are now starting to compete. Delta Airlines now has a basic fare. But be warned when you start looking at some of these fares, folks, because this is what you don't get.
A seat.
You are the last to board and last to access overhead bins, of course, unless you're a Delta Elite flyer. If you buy one of these fares, they will still let you buy board with your elite status, but that's the only thing you save. You get no seat assignment until check-in. There are no refunds. There are no ticket changes. There are no paid or complimentary upgrades if you're a Delta Medallion Elite customer. There's no priority boarding. You can't purchase priority boarding in any way, and there's no same-day confirmed or same-day travel standby changes. So basically, Delta says if you're willing to, you don't care where you sit, and you're willing, you know, and you want the absolute lowest fare, there it is. But at least Delta is telling you that up front.
No carry-on?
No, you can take a carry-on. That's the thing. With Spirit and Frontier and those guys, you can't put anything in the overhead unless you pay for it. But with Delta's basic fare, you are still entitled to that overhead thing. You're still going to have to pay for your checked bag, however. Speaking of checked bags, Alaska Airlines has a special deal. You can get 1,000 extra bonus points if you are willing to tag your own bag and use the bag drop at the airport. When you print your boarding pass, you're going to be printing a luggage tag. They're going to give you instructions. You're going to staple it to your own suitcase and drop it at the airport, and you're going to get 1,000 miles, extra miles. You can do it 5 times between now and October.
Clayton brought something up. Clayton, you want to ask your question about the bag, the free bag, or the tag in your own bag?
Well, when you... When you check a bag at the airport, they print out a very heavy-duty, kind of plastic-reinforced baggage tag that can stand up to the rigors of air travel across the planet.
Uh-huh.
I do this on my home printer, it's just on a little piece of white paper.
Uh-huh.
So how's it gonna survive?
It isn't.
Okay,
got it. There you go. Any other questions? I was going to say,
Mark's answer was as good as your question. He has no idea.
But you get 1,000 miles for trying.
You absolutely do. Yeah. And the difference is, of course, when United Airlines introduced this in Houston, and I happened to be in Houston a few months ago when it was introduced,
right.
There were no instructions. There was nobody there to help you. They just, all of a sudden, it was put your own tag on.
But you could do that, Mark. You've seen that done enough.
Well, there were no scissors, or there was no way for, you know, I mean, they weren't telling you. I mean, yes, I probably could have figured out eventually, but a lot of people wouldn't. And Alaska's, my point here, Thomas, is that Alaska just has a different approach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Here, we'll give you 1,000 miles if you do this at home. It's a totally non-adversarial approach as opposed to the one that United took. Listen, your summer travel got a little bit cheaper. Airfares have taken a dramatic drop.
They've tumbled out of
They're into the basement.
How much, Mark?
I don't know how people are going to pass up on this. According to the Airlines Reporting Corporation, which is where all of us travel people send all of our airline ticket receipts, so they know how much airfares cost. The average price of a plane ticket this summer in the United States is $454. That's a 0.7% drop. You will be saving $2.01.
0.7. Holy cow.
Exactly.
What a deal.
Sort of makes you want to run out and just buy a bunch of airline tickets.
Yeah, but we talked about it. If things didn't go up, then that's a good deal.
And it's summer travel. So if you can get the summer travel for the same price as you got it last year, that's a good deal. Harry, listen, here's something a little bit alarming in the travel news today. Investigators are warning that airline computers could be hacked. Apparently, airlines themselves, what's going into the cockpit is very secure. But now airlines have these internet services on board. Well, some of them are hooking up their cockpit services to the regular service. The firewalls aren't as strong. There is some fear that people could hack into an airline's Wi-Fi service, get into the cockpit, and do something.
None of
that sounds good. Exactly. And speaking of things that don't sound good, if you were a person in the United States who is on the do not fly list, you are about to get a chance to find out why you were on that list. This is kind of important because people to this point haven't been able to find out why they're on the list. In some cases, you could get off of it by doing certain things. But now the United States is going to tell you why you were on the list, which hypothetically would make it easier for you to explain your way off of it. We'll see what happens on that. We'll keep you posted on that.
Interesting.
And that is your travel. Oh, wait a minute. Before your travel news, one other thing. At Sacramento International Airport.
Probably the most important thing.
Yes.
Well, certainly up there.
We have a lot of new air service that has started up in the last month here. Flights 3 nights a week to Mexico City.
Right.
Now joining the Guadalajara Red Eyes. There's 3 flights to Mexico City, 3 nights a week. Started earlier this month. They're also JetBlue is starting seasonal service, nonstop service to Boston starting in the third week of June. I know this because one of my groups is flying home from Boston on a nonstop flight, and it's a red eye like the New York service. But if you're coming home from New York or Boston, you could take JetBlue one way and get a nonstop and get in here about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So you don't necessarily have to use it both ways. The plane has to get here one side. Also, Delta is going to offer a new service to Seattle this summer, and the service to Dulles Airport has started up again with United, and Southwest has service now to Love Field in Dallas, which is important because that's a central transfer point for Southwest. If you can get to Love, you can get to a lot of southeastern destinations a lot easier than you can with a lot of other carriers. So interesting news from Sacramento International Airport, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, visit TravelGuysRadio.com to follow along with the show. Coming up here right after our short break, we've got Clayton Whitehead and Mark Hoffman. We're going to talk about, well, an incident that occurred just recently that basically says that it's going to explain that if you travel and you are handicapped or you have special needs, you are not necessarily going to get the kind of treatment that you always think that you might. That's coming up next on The Travel Guys. Welcome. If you just tuned in, you have The Travel Guys on your radio here every Sunday from 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
We forgot something.
Yes.
I forgot something in the travel news.
Okay.
The Dodgers traveled to San Francisco this week and got swept by the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my! Just thought I'd mention that. That was part of the travel news I forgot to share.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Well, there you go. It just goes to show about the time you think somebody's down and out.
Yep.
Dodgers had won like 8 in a row.
Got to go play the Dodgers in Los Angeles the first part of this week. I'm not too hopeful, but we'll see how that goes. I may have to eat those words by next week. All right, we have something more important to talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's hear it. We're going to... Thanks, I appreciate that.
Let us begin.
All right, this is... This is the bigger picture here is this is about people who need assistance in airports and the airlines who provide that assistance. More specifically, it's about a situation that occurred Friday night in the Houston airport, Houston Intercontinental Airport, that involved a traveler with Sports Leisure Vacations and his wife, who came in with Clayton on a trip. They were in the Bedbin in Alabama for a week on vacation. They came in from Mobile on a commuter plane. When you fly into Houston, if you fly in on a commuter flight, you have to and go out on a mainline large plane, you have to change terminals. And that change requires the use of the tram. That requires you to go upstairs, get on the tram, go somewhere, get off the tram, go downstairs. So when someone is getting wheelchair assistance, it's a little bit more complicated than it would be in a regular airport, just moving them from gate A to gate B. So group lands in Houston, Clayton's group. On Friday afternoon, they have about 55 minutes to connect. It takes about 10 minutes to get the plane up to the gate and get the door open and all that stuff. So they've lost a little time, but they still have plenty of time to get there. Clayton gets off the plane. Wheelchairs are waiting for the people. Group, the 18 folks that are with him that can walk on their own are headed for the tram and on their way. The two folks in the wheelchair are the wheelchair runners are there, and all should be well. They get to the other end. All of the Sports Leisure travelers get on the plane. And except for the two wheelchair customers who are not there, and they're getting ready to close the door on the airplane. And so, Clayton, as the tour director, you pick it up from there.
Right. Well, I flagged down a flight attendant, and I said, wait, a couple of my people aren't here yet. They were the two arriving by wheelchair. I said that as a fact that everybody knew because it's in the record that these two folks had wheelchair assistance.
Uh-huh.
And the flight attendant went to the front of the plane, made an announcement on the PA system to confirm that they were not on the plane. In fact, one of my ladies who knew she was sitting with them and was presently next to two empty seats even shouted out, no, they're not here. They're supposed to be here and they're not. And with that, they closed the door, pulled back the jetway, and we left.
And it should be noted that the plane left the gate 2 minutes prior to its scheduled departure time. So it wasn't an issue of the plane being late and it's flying to Sacramento. It's the last flight of the night. The plane is staying in Sacramento for about 10 hours before it turns around and goes back to Houston. So there are no timing issues here in terms of a landing slot or a plane that's already delayed or a crew that's running out of hours or anything like that. There are no mitigating circumstances that might cause the aircraft to need to really get buttoned up and get the heck out of here. Also, generally, the gate agent comes down and tells the crew and the pilot, gives them some paperwork, says, we've got everybody, we're ready to go. You guys can go whenever you want. But in this case, They couldn't have possibly done that because they didn't have everyone.
Of course, I wasn't in first class, so I wasn't able to hear the transaction between the gate agent and the flight attendant, or if the pilot got involved. At that point, the cockpit door is still open. I mean, the pilot, it is his plane. He is ultimately in control, I think. I don't know what transaction happened, but I do know that I said, wait, my people are not here. They're coming in a wheelchair. And then the door of the plane, and the flight attendants confirmed that my two people were not there. And then the door of the plane was closed anyway, and we pushed back early. And I'm frantically texting, even though they're yelling at me to turn off my phone, because I've got to tell somebody what's going on, you know? So I'm texting the office, and thankfully the office was able to make provisions, but they shouldn't have had to have made those provisions because the airline should not have left those people.
A reasonable person would immediately think that a couple of things. Number one, you know that the two seats that are empty should be occupied by people that are clearly somewhere in the airport. They got off of one plane and they're supposed to get on another.
If the gate agent had looked into the passenger record, they would know that the customers had landed, when the plane had landed, and that they had wheelchair assistance, and the likely assumption would be they were in the airport.
Standard procedure would be my thought. The other was that particularly because they were wheelchair passengers, that they would be the last to be left behind, because here again, they'd be the least capable of fending for themselves. And then, of course, everybody stop and think about it. Where is their luggage? Where is everything they have? It's on the plane headed back from Houston to Sacramento.
And not only were there checked bags on the plane with me and the rest of the group, but some of my group travelers, in order to help them,
Had their carry-ons.
Yeah. The interestingly enough, here's some more facts that are pertinent to this situation. Here's what happened to the people. Mr. and Mrs. Deverman, by the way, Mr. Deverman is 99 years old. And so these folks both had wheelchair assistance. They took them off the plane. They took them to an area where there were a bunch of other wheelchair and special needs customers and said, okay, somebody will be here to pick you up and take you to
the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. But by the time someone showed up to take them the rest of the way, first of all, only one person showed up and there were two wheelchairs. So he asked the wife, who was slightly younger, if she would be willing to walk and not take assistance so that they could start at least on their way there. And she indeed volunteered to do that. So they didn't even really provide the service once they got there. By the time the people got to the gate, the plane had already left.
Wouldn't there be some communication between the person that is shuttling, pushing the wheelchair, the assistant, by radio? They seem to all have some sort of something plugged in their head, and saying, by the way, I have two passengers for this particular flight. We're on our way.
You would like to think, but yeah. Tom, here's the deal. I've thought about this a lot over the last 48 hours because I frequently have customers who need this kind of assistance. And so this is something we had always thought that we were pretty much bulletproof, because if you had somebody who had a wheelchair and the airline knew that the passenger was en route, they weren't going to leave until those people got there.
I even joked with my clients as we were heading to the airport. I knew we were going to have a close connection, only 55 minutes in Houston. Because of an air traffic delay, we actually ended up with only about 40 minutes. So then it was really tight. But I said, look, everybody, just make tracks to the new gate, but we've got insurance. You only have to get there ahead of the wheelchairs, because they won't leave the wheelchairs, but clearly they will.
Here's the deal, Tom. This assistance in airports that people need to know is provided by people who make minimum wage. They frequently do not have strong English language skills. This is not the fault of the people who are providing the service, because oftentimes they are very nice people and they do a good job, but they're not well trained. They sometimes have communication barriers. They're not. They don't know how an airport runs necessarily, and they might not be sensitive to the fact that people have a very tight connection, and that there was no time for somebody to be taken to a way station and then be taken on to another place. My theory about this, and Clayton, I'm interested in your thoughts. My theory on this is that the airlines have that this is. You look, airlines have been fined. US Air was fined in 2012. Frontier was fined in 2013. Spirit was fined in 2014. American Airlines has had some fines against them. All these guys are getting fined for how they treat disabled passengers. This is a calculated risk on their part. They have decided that these fines are somewhat minimal in the big picture, and that they can get some of the fines mitigated if they just promise never to do it again. And so it doesn't bother them to get fined and get sullied a little bit publicly because they're saving a tremendous amount of money for every day that they can provide this substandard service. And I don't know how you make this all work, but I don't know if you charge people for the service or how you get better service. Right now, all of us are paying for it in the cost of our tickets. Clayton, what are your thoughts?
Well, yes to all of the above. I guess at the bottom of the issue, I don't understand why the two pushers that took them off our first plane could not have just pushed them to the second plane. They pushed them through Terminal B. They pushed them to the train. They pushed them out of the train into Terminal C. Why leave them there beside the train station? Why couldn't those people, not to mention the fact that the plane was already boarding at this point, why couldn't those people have walked a few hundred more yards and actually put them on the plane? Either they were incapable of understanding the urgency of the situation, or maybe that was the rule, that they have to stay in their assigned terminal. I don't know. And whereas I had a sense of urgency about it myself sitting on the plane, I didn't think a person could be left who was in a wheelchair.
And United, it took us, you have to know, Tom, it took us almost 2 hours to track down these people from... Only because I'm a high-status flyer with United, I was able to call that number, plead with the guy, it's not the first time I've done this, and have him connect me to somebody who connected me to somebody who connected me to somebody and get to a position where we could find these folks. They'd been issued a hotel voucher, and finally I tracked them down as they were checking into the Ramada Inn about an hour and 45 minutes after the plane had left, and was able to let them know that we knew where they were and that, you know, we would be there, and Clayton and I were there to meet them last night, and they're home and they're safe and they're not, there's nothing wrong with them or anything, but they also are wondering, how could this have happened? And so I guess the takeaway from this is that if you are traveling, if you're putting somebody on an airplane who requires assistance and you're not traveling with them, if they can't operate a cell phone, then you're doing a very bad thing, because this could happen to them. It happens all the time. And if you are traveling with someone who needs special assistance, don't leave them. Don't leave them with the wheelchair person. And I mean, in this case, Clayton had no choice. He's got 20 people, and he thought that everything was fine. But that's the takeaway, I think, to make people a smarter traveler from this. What do people gather from this is that this system is not as good as you thought it was. And we're travel professionals who depend on this system a lot, and we now know that it is not what we thought it was. So for the amateur, for the leisure traveler out there who is putting grandma and grandma on a plane and sending them back home or something like that, if one of them can't operate a cell phone and advocate for themselves in difficult situations, I fear for people. It's not a good situation at all. But to Clayton's credit, he did a great job. He kept us informed. We worked as a team. We were able to get in touch with the people and with their family and let them know what was going on and everything. So this story doesn't have an unhappy ending, but I'm guessing that there are lots of stories like this that do have an unhappy ending. And that is the challenge.
You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFPK. Interesting story. Coming up next, right after the news, Becky Rupp joins us from American Road Magazine. We're going to check out some monuments for all of us roadies right here on the radio. That's next here on the Travel Guys.
Welcome back. We are the Travel Guys. On a Sunday afternoon.
Good to see you, Mark. We are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, I might add.
We are. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about there just before the break with Clayton and the whole deal about disabled and folks needing special needs and stuff is, what do we do now that we've had this situation happen?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If it happens to you, what do you do? And first thing we're doing is, I found in the course of an hour and 45 minutes in tracking those people through United Airlines the other night and find out what hotel they were, I picked up a couple phone numbers and email addresses along the way. I can't share them with anybody, but nonetheless, I have them. And now I can file a formal complaint with United Airlines on Monday morning with someone who might actually read the email. And then on Tuesday morning, I'll give United 24 hours to respond, and then I intend to file a formal complaint, regardless of how United responds, with the Department of Transportation, because that's how you get to these fines, which is the only way of shaming the airlines and trying to get the system changed. So if you ever are in this situation, you've got to take the time and take the effort to file a complaint. Department of Transportation is DOT. And you can find it online. It's very easy. Just airline complaint DOT. It'll come right up for you. And it's just, it's a little bit of effort, but it will go to somebody who will read it and who will care that you took the time to do it. So that's unfortunately your only recourse.
And in regards to sports leisure vacations, in regards to how you're going to handle it as a company.
Well, we now know that we're not bulletproof when we've got wheelchair passengers traveling through an airport. You can no longer say, well, you know, until they get there, we're not going. But I'm going to suggest to you that, you know, we're going to look at how we handle procedures. And it may be that if a similar situation comes up the next time, the tour director will get off the plane and stay with the customers
right.
that are not because we didn't know where they were or what was going on.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
So
and
anyways.
Clayton gets an overnighter in Houston.
Well, and exactly. Well, and, you know, imagine being in that position where, you know, they're getting ready to close the door. Fortunately, he had a cell phone so he could communicate with us what was going on.
Right.
And we were able to do something. So that's another thing to point out, though. You know, we talked about reasons that you have a travel agent or a tour operator or someone that takes care of your travel is because you get into a situation like this, you've got somebody who can communicate and advocate for you. So anyways, let's move on here. Becky has been waiting patiently on the phone here for us for a number of minutes. Becky is from American Road Magazine. She is somebody who Becky Rep was on our program a number of times, and we haven't talked to her for a while, and I was looking at an issue of the magazine the other day, and I said, you know, it's got all kinds of off-the-beaten-track stuff. It's time to talk to Becky. Hi, Becky.
Hi. How are you?
Wonderful, Becky. This is Tom. It's so nice to hear your voice again. How is things with American Road Magazine and, of course, your website, AmericanRoadMagazine.com?
It is going gangbusters. We're busier than ever, and we're actually working on a new website, too.
You guys, Becky, you guys have made a transition sort of from being just a printed publication to being an online publication in addition to having a hard copy. How is that going for you?
It's going great. We also have an app through iTunes as well. So it's the same content across the board. It's just available in different the venue and you know whichever way you like to consume it, and some people like to consume it in all three types, so print or digital, so you can search easily and print out one or two pages from the magazine if you want to and take it with you on your trip. It's the digital is great, but the print is great too, so there's lots of pros to each.
I'm kind of one of those old school guys who enjoys a little bit of each. You know, I sometimes read the daily newspaper from Sacramento now online, and I never thought I would ever do that. But it depends on where you are and what you can do and how much time you have. And like you said, why haul the whole magazine with you when you can just print out a couple of pages that are pertinent to the to your destination or your story? Becky, this the edition, the spring edition has some of the magazine, has some, and we're going to invite, there's a link to the magazine at travelguysradio.com. So if this interests folks, you can go there and hook up with American Road Magazine. We lost a long time roadie, maybe the all-time roadie in the United States. Our buddy Bernie passed away here just recently, and you chronicled this in the edition of your magazine.
We did, yes. Bernie Quineau, he was 102, and he was, he was a Boy Scout when he was young man. Back in 1928, he was 15 years old, and he traveled across the Lincoln Highway on a tour to promote the Lincoln Highway.
And he was also a scout who helped put up many of the roadside Lincoln Highway markers. Bernie was at the Lincoln Highway Convention a couple years ago when he turned 100.
And, he sure was.
And yeah. I had an opportunity to meet Bernie, and still very livid and great. You could just sit down and have a great conversation with him. You had an article in the magazine this edition about the Cal Neva Lodge, the old Frank Sinatra hangout up on the north shore of Lake Tahoe.
Yes, we sure did. They are actually renovating the lodge, and it's scheduled to reopen on December 12th of this year, which is Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it is pretty awesome.
If you don't already have reservations, I'm guessing you're probably not getting in for December the 12th, but you might be able to get in. Not too. Do you remember the Cal Neva, Tom?
Oh, absolutely, on the North Shore,
When we were kids and we were not of legal gambling age, but wanted to gamble anyway, you could go to the North Shore, and nobody really bothered you much there because they needed all the gamblers that they could get, and the limits were low. And so those are my memories of the Cal Neva Lodge where Frank Sinatra used to hang out. John Kennedy was there with Sinatra. Marilyn Monroe was there with Sinatra. They sort of have figured out. You've got some. This is just a great magazine. I started looking at it the other day in preparation for our little interview here, and then I ended up 2 hours on reading the magazine. You were talking about the ancient civilizations down around in the Four Corners area and Cahokia Mounds, two very different but very interesting Native American sites in the country.
Yeah, well, this whole issue focuses on ancient things, things that are around the country, and also we get into Canada as well. And you mentioned the Four Corners area. That's the Trail of the Ancients scenic byway, and it covers Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. That gets into Monument Valley, the Four Corners Monument, the Moki Dugway. Did you see that article?
I did. That is really fascinating, too.
It is. It's one of the windiest roads one could ever encounter, and not for the faint of heart. So.
You know, folks who visit St. Louis often may have never seen or be aware of Cahokia Mounds, which is just on the other side. It's over in the East St. Louis area, and it's an area that, you know, you probably people would say, oh, don't go over there. But the area around Cahokia Mounds is very safe, and it's a developed park site now. And the history of that whole thing about the ancients who lived there and how, you know, why they lived close to the river and where they went at other times of the it's a fascinating, to me, a fascinating story. And it's right there next to Metropolitan St. Louis.
Yes, it sure is. And it is actually the largest and earliest pre-Columbian settlement north of Mexico. And since you read the article, you know it had a birdman.
Yes, digging up the birdman of Cahokia Mounds.
Yes.
What a story.
Yes, he was likely a chief, and he was buried on a bed of shells in the shape of a falcon.
Wow.
And you can see a recreation at the Cahokia Mounds site.
You had cool. One other thing, Becky, in the edition this time around that really is it's a Sports Leisure Vacation's favorite a spot, the McGill Drug Store in McGill, Nevada. There's a little article there. Tom, McGill was a company town.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outside of Ely. And this man years ago, early 70s, if I'm remembering correctly, Becky?
Yeah.
I'm thinking early 70s. One day, the company town was kind of closing down. And he closed the drugstore and walked away. And the drugstore remains exactly the way it was the day he walked away.
Wow.
All the stuff that was on the shelf those days with those prices
mm-hmm.
are all there. And there's a man who comes down and puts on a soda jerk hat and scoops up ice cream for folks when you come through town, and you can see the drugstore. So it's really a cool place.
Let me guess, when you travel there, you have to call ahead so that he'll meet you there to open up.
Yeah, how did you know that?
I don't know. I'm just thinking that's kind of how it is out on the open road along the Lincoln Highway and Route 66.
That's right. Daniel Braddock, and he is a very nice man. And he will give you a tour of the drugstore. It is awesome. If you remember Ipana toothpaste.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
You can see
all kinds of things that were on sale. It's really a kind of a step back in time, and it's a tremendous amount of fun. And then Daniel will give you will not only talk your ear off, but he'll serve you a scoop of ice cream at the end.
I have to ask both you, Becky, and Mark, who is a road warrior, loves to take his travelers out on the open road. You know, a lot of folks, they jump on airplanes and they go to their destination and they do their thing and they fly back. And I don't run into very many people anymore, maybe because of the cost of gas or they just don't know enough about it. Do you see a decline in open road travel?
Not with our readers.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's the only way to go.
Well, I saw the other day that Harley Davidson said that they're sales of hogs were off a little bit, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, a lot of these guys that are out on the roads now, you see they're on the back roads. They're guys in their 50s and 60s, soon to be in their 70s, I'm guessing, and traveling the back roads at a little slower rate of speed. And I think they're the kind of people who love things like American Road Magazine, because if you're going to get out there and really see things, I'm a a huge off-the-beaten-track fan. There are two publications in this country that are really dedicated to folks. I'm sure there are lots more, but the two best by far are American Road Magazine and Route 66 Magazine, because they will talk to you about places in the country that you just, you may think you know these places until you read about them, Tom, in the magazine, and then suddenly you find out that there was a whole angle to it you didn't know.
It appears that American Road Magazine, if you, you know, once you go to the website and you take a look at it, that if you're planning a road vacation and you don't tap into what American Road Magazine can teach you, you're making a big mistake. There's a lot of great information.
You won't be as smart of a traveler when you head out on the road if you don't have, if you're not a regular reader of Becky's magazine. You can't just pick up one copy. You've got to be a regular reader so you can immerse yourself in knowing where all of these places are off the beaten pack and track and stuff like that. Becky, I'm really happy to hear that the magazine is doing well. Are you guys still in Oklahoma?
Not right now.
Okay.
We're all over the place.
Where's the magazine's home these days?
Right now in Michigan.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yep. In the Motor City.
Ah. Well, we just talked about your current issue, Becky, and the trails of the ancients, places where all the roadies monuments are. What's the next issue going to have?
Oh, the next issue is going to be fun. Our summer issue themes tend to center around movies. And this coming summer issue, the theme is silent movies. So we are having a silent movie route that highlights a number of places in the middle of the country that have a connection to silent movies, like the oldest continuously operating theater that was built as a silent movie cinema in the country. And we're also going to visit a hotel in California that was owned by Charlie Chaplin.
That sounds pretty cool. And listen,
lots of fun.
You're talking about places in the Midwest there, and I would think the Coleman Theater maybe in Miami, Oklahoma, might be one of those old movie. Was the Coleman a silent movie house? It was back in the day. Yeah. Well, anyways,
Route 66 flashback. There you go. Either way, there will be no dialogue, only great soundtrack.
Only great soundtrack. Becky, thanks for taking a little bit of time on your Sunday. I was going to say afternoon, but in Detroit, it would be Sunday. In Michigan, it would be Sunday evening now. So thanks for taking a little bit of time to talk to us. And don't be a stranger. We'll stay in touch.
Well, thank you. And we do have a special offer for your listeners. If they go and they do want to subscribe to American Road, they can enter code TG for Travel Guys 2015.
Okay, cool.
And get a special deal.
Outstanding. So if you go to Travel Guys, our website at travelguysradio.com or americanroadmagazine.com, TG 2015 will get you a special deal. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Becky. Bye-bye now. You know, TG, boy, look at there. I never knew that our show would actually become a code for a discount for something. I'm pretty excited. I'm proud.
All over the place today, from off the beaten track to folks abandoned in the airport to you name it. When we come back, we have saved the best for last, and we have, I think, really, truly, one of the best airline stories that you have ever, ever heard, seen, known about. We'll tell you where to find it and how to see it when we come back. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
And leaving on a jet plane, please. I want to leave on a jet plane. Do not leave me at the gate in my chair again.
You don't want to go on the propeller-driven thing? Yeah. You want to go on a jet plane? You know, hearing that song, Peter, Paul, and Mary, did you happen to see a couple weeks ago, KVIE had a spectacular 50 years of Peter, Paul, and Mary thing, and it was a brand new program?
No.
And it was done after Mary had passed, and it was, good Lord, it was just an amazing, if you're a Peter, Paul, and Mary fan, Peter and Paul will be out at in Folsom, at Harris Stages, a couple, and they added an extra day. because there was so much demand. I'm planning on going in June.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great.
No, that was and KVIE has some really good programming, and I mentioned
some that I might add. The Sports Leisure Vacations is a underwriter.
Yes, sir.
Got to get a plug in for the guys
of Rob on the Road. And this week on Rob on the Road, experience the magic of art inside some of Sacramento's most famous studios, including those of David Loewenberg and Tim Cullum, C-O-L-L-O-M. I probably have butchered that. My apologies
right.
in advance. But anyways, Rob on the Road, which is on KVIE every week. And last week, I went out to the KVIE studios, Tom, to pick up on to be a guest. They have a business for small business people. They have a new program that actually starts on Monday night. We got to see it. It's called Yes, We're Open. And it's a locally produced program, which KVIE is just tremendous at doing local stuff. And better than just about any other public television station in the country, which is one reason we support them. And this is about businesses around Sacramento. And there were four or five of them in the 30-minute broadcast. Just fascinating, all from different angles. And, you know, one business was rebooting itself, and another was a family-owned business, and little vignettes and
things.
Nice.
Do you know what night of the week they're going to carry that?
Monday night at 7 o'clock. And it's if you own a business or you work for a small business... in particular, it's designed for entrepreneurial type people. You know what? If you're somebody who watches the Shark Tank on CNBC or on Channel 10 on Friday nights, you probably will really like this program because we got to see a preview of it out at the station last week, and it was just it was really, really entertaining.
Do you recall the businesses that they had spotlighted on that first episode?
Oh, gosh.
You don't have to, but...
One was a laser tag place in Stockton, and another was a local restaurant whose name is just escaping me, and I've
so
eaten there.
So it's all
really
over
bad.
Northern California. It's not just Sacramento not just, alone.
Yeah, it's KVIE's listening area. So
that's
yes, we're
big.
Open, and then Rob on the Road. Those are on Monday nights on KVIE.
And if you guys stay open, maybe you'll actually get featured at one time
knows?
Or another.
Who knows? Maybe they'll wander in here and talk to the Travel Guys someday or something like that. Hey, at TravelGuysRadio.com, you can not only find everything that we've talked about on the program today and convenient links to find them, including American Road Magazine. A Holiday Inn has changed made their reward program changes for the year, and they're listed there. An article about United bringing back free beer and wine in their long-haul economy overseas flights. We were talking about Delta's basic fares and the warnings that were listed with those, and the fact that Aeromexico is now serving Mexico City from Sacramento, so we're not a one-trick international pony now. We've got a couple of destinations. Flight numbers of passengers at the airport have gone up now for 12 months in a row, departing passengers. So it does appear as though the economy in Sacramento has taken a turn. But if you have found something on the program that you're interested in, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can also find all of the former shows are listed there. And you can find a new section that we've set up this week called Save the Best for Last. We've been doing this now for a few weeks, and we're going to put a story or two in there every week that we think are just really funny or really cool or really poignant. And poignant would be the one for this week. Delta Airlines in Atlanta, Tom, and you said that you took a look at this video.
I did. Mark earlier in the week sent me the link to the video that you'll find there at TravelGuysRadio.com. And, make sure you got some Kleenex handy because it's a real tearjerker.
It's very
poignant.
The video is not brand new, full disclosure, but it is an example of what Delta Airlines does in Atlanta when an American soldier returns home in a box. And in this case, this soldier returned home, and his canine companion also returned home in a small box. And there was an honor guard and on a rainy day at the Atlanta airport. And I won't tell you anymore because I'll lose it on the radio. But go to TravelGuysRadio.com, please. And at the end of the write-up, it says you can watch the video here, and there's a place on the left side it says Delta Honor Guard. But just look at how Delta Airlines handles the situation when an American soldier returns, a deceased American soldier returns home to the Atlanta airport. And I guarantee you that you will come away from that. You won't be able to say much for a couple minutes afterwards, I'm afraid.
And it's, of course, nicely put together. Whoever put the piece together, chose Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American as the soundtrack. And we all know that song just by itself can, can get you going anyway. Yeah. So you put this video to it, and there you go.
Lee,
you
Greenwood, friend of the Travel Guys.
Sure enough.
Guest on this program from Norte Del Rio High School, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay. Do we have a winner here for the Travel Guys Traveler of the Week?
We really, really do. And we did not get a winner last week. So our jackpot is, for the first time, up to $300 travel dollars.
300 travel dollars,
so,
ladies and gentlemen.
The winner has until the end of the day, business day on Tuesday, to call the Sports Leisure Vacations office and claim their prize. Eldon McComb is our winner this week. Eldon and went with us on our trip to Maui a couple of weeks ago, and his name was chosen at random. And Eldon, if you call our office Monday or Tuesday, you will win a $300 travel card. If you do not call us next week, the travel card will be worth a $400 from Sports Leisure Vacations.
Next weekend on the Travel Guys at 3 o'clock, got some good stuff for you.
We're going to talk about a couple of new airline entrants in Sacramento. There is now service to Visalia. I forgot that before when I was talking about new service. Mm-hmm. On a small commuter carrier, maybe more to come. And also a membership airline where you can fly anywhere in the state for a one set fee every month on Surf Air. We'll tell you all about those next week.
Your friends Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every week at 3 o'clock to make you a smarter traveler. You have a fabulous week. Stay well.